This morning, our scriptures are from the Gospel of Matthew and the letter of Galatians. First from Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." From Galatians 2, 20 to 21. These are the words of Paul. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So we're in a series about worshipers, being one who worships in truth and in spirit, and we learned already that we must have an undivided heart. And we gain that undivided heart by surrender. And so today, our sermon title is What Surrender Looks Like. Do you remember when you were kids, and I'm assuming that you stopped when you were kids, that grown-ups don't still do this, but do you ever play the game Uncle? Right? Where you wrestled with each other until somebody had someone else held tight it. And the only way they could get out is if they submitted by saying, "Uncle," and then you let them go. I can see by the grin, some of you are familiar with this cruel game. I had three brothers. I'm very familiar with this cruel game. Now, my youngest son, he likes watching UFC fights. And they call surrender tapping out. We know in war times, if a group was in battle, they would wave a white flag to indicate that they were laying down their weapons in surrender. In its simplest form, surrender means I'm not going to fight you anymore. And it means the same thing in a spiritual context. But the one we're fighting against is God. When we surrender in a spiritual context, we are surrendering to God. We are saying, "I am not going to fight you anymore, God." Now, let me give you a couple of examples. Let's suppose someone has wronged you, in whatever way that might be. A heart that is in battle with God will justify in our minds why we do not need to forgive them, why we can carry a grudge, or even look for vengeance. That's a heart in battle with God. But a heart that has surrendered to God will follow God's will and will quickly forgive, choosing not to be offended. Another example. Suppose a neighbor comes to you with some really juicy gossip about another neighbor. Now, an unsurrendered heart, a heart in battle with God, would listen intently to the story to gather all the bits of information, and they might even add their own opinion and their own layer of judgment. But a surrendered heart knows how God feels about gossip. There are many passages. Proverbs 11, 13 is just one. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. So a surrendered heart would stop the person. Say, if I'm supposed to know this, that the person involved would tell me themselves, or whatever way you would want to stop them. Now, being surrendered to God isn't always easy. And sometimes we might just feel a little awkward in it. Like when you try to stop someone who wants to tell you this wonderful story, it feels a little awkward. But what we don't realize is it's actually a loving response. When we respond in that way that is loving, the message to the other person is that you are trustworthy. And so they know that if they needed to share something on their heart with you, it would go no further than you. It's a loving response. God can use a person like that, because now you are one that God can use to give godly wisdom and share godly counsel with someone who has troubles. But in that moment, it's awkward, and we might not realize the powerful impact of surrender. A surrendered heart is undivided. We serve God only. We don't people please. The easy response might simply be, I'll let them tell me the gossip, but then I won't spread it any further. We're people pleasing and trying to serve God. We can't do both. But remember last week, we learned that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When we have surrendered, our hearts are fully committed, and God will give us strength. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We must deny those pieces of us that are worldly. It might even feel instinctive because they've been ingrained for so long. But Jesus is talking about surrender. Being a Christian in its most basic sense is one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for their sins. But that's a beginning point. To be a disciple, that is a true follower of Jesus, requires more than just that belief. It requires surrender. It requires us to stop fighting against God. Jesus said they must deny themselves. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you too must deny yourself. That means giving up your way of doing things for God's way. And maybe it sounds a little unfair, because maybe your way hasn't been doing you too badly. I mean, are all our ways so bad? And maybe it feels a little undesirable to surrender because it feels like we're losing control. But here's the things that we have to give up, according to Scripture. We must give up all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That's what we have to surrender. Do we really want any of that in our lives to begin with? But we have a clever way of disguising these things to make them seem not so bad. If you are trying to surrender, here's a little test for you to see just how well you're doing. Suppose you were driving your car and an inconsiderate driver pulls out in front of you, cutting you off. And now they're going slower than what you were going, and so you're behind them, slower. And just a couple blocks in, they decide to make a left-hand turn, and now you have to wait for that moment too. Be honest. How would you respond inside your car? Now, if Jesus was the driver of your car, how would Jesus respond? Are the two responses the same? Which response draws from love, and which response draws from selfishness? See, surrender is putting love over selfishness. God is love and his ways are loving. When love wins, we have surrender. Surrendering is the only kind of surrender. Sorry, surrendering to Jesus is the only kind of surrender that makes your life better. You surrender in the game of uncle and you will become a victim again and again. You surrender in a UFC fight and you lose the match. And it goes on your career stats. You surrender in war and you become a prisoner. But you surrender to Jesus and your life becomes immeasurably better. Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me will find it. What Jesus is saying is you were created to live beyond the expectations of this world. And if you continue to pursue the world, you'll actually lose the life God intended for you to have. But if you surrender yourself to live God's way, then you will truly be alive and live the life God intended for you, which is true living, not just existing. Is surrendering to God easy? Well, it should be. But because we have a fallen nature that is steeped in selfishness, we find letting go hard. Because we don't want to lose control. And sometimes we're fearful of what God will do with us because we lack trust in his goodness. My ways are above your ways, my thoughts far above your thoughts. But is surrendering to God worth it? Yes, absolutely. Every time, for every person, in every situation, surrendering to Jesus is never the wrong choice. The one who created you, who knit your DNA together, who said that your days are ordained and that you are his masterpiece created for good works, that guy said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. And that's not like financial prosper. That's prosper in all the ways that matter to God. Prospering you in peace and joy, happiness, contentment, kindness and gentleness, all of those things. And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So how does surrender happen? What do we need to do? Well, we need to learn to take up our cross, which means to die to sin. Romans chapter 6 explains all this so thoroughly that if it's something you're pondering and wondering and wrestling with, I encourage you to read Romans 6, but not in the King James. Nobody will understand it. Choose a translation that you can understand. There's so many good ones. If you're on the computer, go to BibleGateway.com and you have 35 or 40 English translations available. Find one that makes sense to you. Ask the Spirit to lead you. But this morning, I'm going to give you a couple of excerpts from chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. When Jesus died, he died once for all, meaning for all people, to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Take up your cross, meaning to claim what Jesus did for you. Power of sin is defeated in your life. It is no longer your master. You don't have to sin. The devil can't make you do it. When your old selfish nature rears its ugly head, You nail it to the cross. Verses 12 and 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. That's a powerful statement, an instrument of evil. I mean, we don't think of our selfish ways as being evil, but God does. Do not let implies that we have control over this. It doesn't just happen in you because the power of sin is dead in you. We have a choice. The flip side, that is what we should do rather than what we should not do, says give yourselves completely to God. That is surrender. For you were dead, but now you have new life. God considers our selfish life to be death. You are dead, but the cross has made you alive. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Surrendering to God is freedom. It can be exhausting being selfish, carrying grudges, harboring ill will towards others. Surrendering to God is freedom. And John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As Paul says in Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That is surrender. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul trusts in the goodness of God. In our surrender, our hearts become fully God's, and God strengthens us in this new found freedom from living a selfish, worldly life to a wonderful life established for us by God himself. May our gathering here bring us to a place of surrender. May we experience the joy and peace that comes from surrender. Now to him who is able to do infinitely more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.